Welcome to another episode of Rough Talk VR, a weekly podcast with in-depth game reviews, exclusive developer interviews, and the latest MetaQuest and virtual reality news. We join our hosts, the father-son team of D. Scruffles and Stratus today, as they spend another episode breaking down and discussing the world of virtual reality.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Rough Talk VR, coming at you with another edition of VR News.
Sometimes I crack myself up at the shit that we say right before you start.
Yeah, you made me stumble right at the start because I hear you chuckling in the background.
Yeah.
That was funny. Yeah, we have some fun off air sometimes. Maybe a little bit too much fun.
Sometimes hitting the record button is dangerous.
Yeah. Sometimes I even tell you, I'm like, dude, what happens if I forget to edit it out? What happens? You know?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, too much fun. But yeah, welcome to another edition of VR News. We got plenty of, you know, stuff on the agenda today. In fact, this is one of the rare days I have two whole pages full of stuff, so we'll try not to ramble on too much about each one, but some will be quicker than others. That's the way it goes. But the big one from last week, to me at least as a Quest user, was Meta announced that they're revamping their Quest Plus subscription, so that before, the way it went is every month there's two games that you get for it, and if you claim them, then they stay in your library for the whole time that you have the subscription. Of course, like all these type of subscription services, if you cancel, you know, you lose the games in your library.
Which makes sense.
So they're keeping that. You know, each month there's going to be two new games. In fact, this month's two new games are going to be Contractors, which was very timely with Contractor Showdown's beta starting. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But then the other one is a game called Shadowpoint. So besides those two games coming each month, they also added a library of games that are pretty freaking solid, and they say it's going to rotate over time. I mean, by pretty freaking solid, I mean, check this for games. They announced A Township Tale, Demio, Espire 1, Fruit Ninja, Hand Physics Lab, Jurassic World, Moss, Onworld, Red Matter 1, Sports Scramble, The Climb, Until You Fall, and Walkabout Mini Golf. All included in the Quest Plus subscription. That's pretty banging.
Which pound for pound is not very expensive as far as a subscription goes anyways.
No, it's $8 a month.
Yeah, $7.99, sir.
Sorry, $8 a month.
Plus tax.
Yeah, so, you know. Or $60 a year. And if you pay for the whole year annually, the $60 from apparently March 1st to May 1st, you get $25 store credit back.
Which is even better.
And still, if you buy a Quest 3, you get 6 months of Quest Plus included as well. I mean, they're really...
Nah, dude, that it's... Well, I mean, and it makes sense, though, because look at how flat screen does it. And the amount of... Everybody knows I have subscriptions to both Microsoft and Ubisoft. Mm-hmm. And both have an extensive library. And both are willing to put out brand new. This is where I love it. And this is, you look at that list, one could argue it's pretty similar where there's, you know, dude, you're getting Demio.
Yeah, you were just playing that new one from Ubisoft.
Skull and Bones.
Yeah, you got it for free, I think.
Well, I got it for my
included
subscription.
Included in the subscription, yes.
Yeah, but it's like, here's
was that the Ubisoft one or the Microsoft subscription? Which one did that come with?
It came with Ubisoft.
I imagine, that would be a little ridiculous to throw on the Microsoft one, right?
And dude, I freaking love it.
Yeah,
I played every single night.
I've been hearing mixed things, but you know, you say you love it. I've been hearing great things about Helldivers 2 as well.
Kind of like GTA in the water.
Yeah, but
you're a pirate.
This is a great revamping because as soon as Quest Plus was originally announced, this is what people were saying they wanted. They wanted.
Well, I figured it would build up over time, like because everything you saw coming out each month, of course, you would download, so you'd have it in your
correct,
library.
But if you joined, for the example, 6 months into the program, you couldn't get those past 6 months of games.
No. So I'm excited that they, but I didn't expect that list to be so strong.
You know, there's some, what I would call a little bit more fluff in there, but all of those are really good ones. Demio, Espire 1,
for a
Walkabout
day one,
Mini Golf.
For a day one.
Red Matter?
Yeah, dude.
So if somebody buys
the hours that you're spending in those games, it's you're getting a damn good value.
If somebody buys a Quest 2 or a Quest 3, do you feel comfortable telling them, get the Quest Plus sub? I mean, if you get a Quest 3, then you have it 6 months included anyway.
I do have something that's weird because I never tried it in, because I don't buy DLCs for mm-hmm. flat screen typically, you know. So Walkabout Mini Golf is on there in the catalog, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a rotating thing, right? So if you get the game for free, A, can you buy DLCs?
I'm sure, but then if you cancel, B, then I'm sure you can't access
if
it.
If you cancel, yeah, do you lose your Walkabout and the DLCs? And then C, if you buy Walkabout, will the DLCs that you bought while you had it as part of that package be there?
Yeah.
So that's always like a question I've had. I'm just using Walkabout as an example.
It's the age old question of subscription service versus physical. You know, or not even physical, just actually buying the game and quote unquote owning the license to it, because you don't really own digital content even.
Because there's no way you could give me Walkabout for free and I wouldn't buy a DLC.
Oh, 100%.
Right? 100%. Because you'd see the price and you'd be like, oh, I didn't know they were that.
So that's always the downside of subscription services. If you build up the majority of your game library via paying that $8 or $60 annually, which not for nothing is the cost of one flat screen game. It's a really good price as well. But
for the amount of content you get, you can't argue that price. Yeah.
But if you cancel, then you lose it. That's the only downside. But that
even if you did it for a month, there's more than a month of content. You're not going to be able to do all that in a month.
No way.
Right?
Red Matter, Demio, Walkabout. Those are the real highlights to me. Aspyr 1.
Going to get hooked.
Yeah. So at least they came out with a really solid list.
It's not even funny.
Oh, man. That's smart to throw Walkabout on there, too. Because like you said, good luck not buying the DLCs after playing that. Yeah. No, great stuff. That
you're
was
gonna see Meow Wolf and you're gonna be all over it.
That's a trippy one to start with. But speaking of Walkabout Mini Golf, I guess it rolls right into it. Walkabout did announce their next DLC right around the corner, coming March 7th. It's a follow up to the Evil Lair, the Laser Lair one, but this one's Ice Lair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hope they continue the evil villain theme right off the top.
Well, I'm kind of getting a feeling now that seeing the direction they've gone with two of them now.
Yeah, you can't just have two.
Well, no, because there's other elements. So we'll see where they go with it.
Yeah,
I'm just suspicious that they would stop it.
I love the comical themes of Walkabout Mini Golf. You know, for one, evil villain, super villain. Come on, Evil Lairs. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I've seen them post on their social medias and their Discord some hype about some of the penguins in there. Just silly stuff like that, you know?
Who doesn't like penguins, dude?
Which makes you wonder, you know how there's always dead employees in the course?
Is there a dead penguin?
Yeah.
Did they murder a penguin?
I love the dead employees aspect of the Walkabout courses, because most of them are so happy and vibrant. It's just like a...
You would never think that there would be a dark side to Walkabout.
A dead employee?
Anywhere.
Yeah.
And to know that there's a deep dark side. Dead employees. You don't retire from Walkabout.
I don't know if the original courses have it. I feel like the first course I remember dead employees was Sweetopia, but maybe it was popping up before that.
Well, if I see a skeleton in any course, I'm just going to assume it's, you know, could be right there in front of me. Be like, all right.
And of course, you know, there's always so many things I'm curious about with a new Walkabout DLC. For one, what's the aesthetics going to be like? How's the soundtrack going to be like? Is there going to be new gameplay elements? What's that all going to be like? Is it going to be a challenging course, an easy course? How the hell is the difficulty with Edward being a maniac and hiding the balls? Is it going to be an easier one, a harder one? So there's always so much excitement for me anytime I hear a new Walkabout course. And man, they've yet to disappoint. So March 7th, cost of a coffee, $3.99. Let's go. Ice Lair. I'm excited. I almost said Laser Lair.
Yeah, my biggest thing the only thing I want with Walkabout is the course and to kind of pre-guess what new element they're going to throw into the gameplay, because every single course has something unique. It might not be the strongest thing through the whole course, but there will be some gameplay element and or mechanic that you haven't seen or done before.
Yeah. Usually. Sometimes they've done some, you know...
But graphically and gameplay and music score wise,
all that.
I 100% will never question anything.
I'm just curious.
Whether it's something they made up or it's something like, I don't care, superheroes, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
want my Willy Wonka, though.
Yeah. That I think IP that's potential.
I was thinking of it the other day. I was visualizing like, okay, like the room, like when they first walk in and the whole place is all candy and shit and the kids are running and stuff and little Oompa Loompas doing their thing. And
well, I don't know. Did you see that news story of that like disappointing Willy Wonka convention?
Yeah.
That happened?
Oh, my God.
Where they advertised it with the AI.
Was that in,
and they had that,
that
one,
over in England.
They had that one sad looking Oompa Loompa. On 100%, when I thought that, I was like, man, if
did
you're going to
you
be
see the
this,
real photos in the videos?
It was like empty and it was just sad.
Dude, it was like a warehouse. There was a bounce house.
One sad Oompa Loompa.
In a corner. There was literally like an 8x4 banner mm-hmm. of like candy and shit. The candy that the kids had to pick, because it was going to be candy, of course, for the kids. And we're talking like the bounce house was in the corner of a warehouse. And 30 feet away is like a table with like a Twizzler
mm-hmm.
and like a Jolly Rancher type thing. And then like 30 feet away from that was like the photo thing. And then.
Yeah, no, the whole thing was very sad. But
holy
as soon as
they got shut down,
as soon as I saw it, I was like, man,
people called the cops.
People are going to do anything walkabout. I mean, if anything, people are going to do anything Willy Wonka should be walkabout. And that's a great example of that. They would have done that whole thing virtually. So much better. So,
dude, I guarantee I can picture each room.
A Willy Wonka course would be next level.
It'd be stunning.
Yeah,
I could taste it.
I feel like Willy Wonka's always been a little friendly with licensing, right? Am I imagining that?
I'm not. That would be a question for Walkabout's licensing committee there.
Yeah, Michelle Martel.
Yeah, she would be able to answer that real.
We need
quick,
to get like, her back on. I wasn't
I
prepared.
The, you know,
I
what?
Wasn't prepared for how epic of an interview she was going to be. If that makes sense, I got so
I was
many
thinking
more.
I was thinking of that a couple weeks ago.
I have so many more questions to ask
just
her
because of her background too.
Yeah.
She's come from a very.
And I was so excited to have Vince on as well. So it was kind of like a split interview. Michelle was a good interview. She has a lot.
100%. But she would be the one that would be elbow deep in such a thing. So
I don't know if they want to send her back to us though, because we're going to be prying. But how about Willy Wonka?
Right.
I just think it's a good idea.
I actually don't think it's a bad one. I think it would sell well too.
She actually casually dropped that she was at the WWE. We didn't dig deeper in that.
Well,
that wasn't
the purpose.
I got questions about that.
That's why if we can get her back solo, I want to go into the mm-hmm. whole WWE thing. So
their audio person we still haven't talked to, that would be a good one.
That's one of my...
And to be honest with you, everybody that we've talked to...
Walk about bucket list mm-hmm. guests is the score, the infamous audio guy.
And to be honest with you, I don't think that
makes
there's
that music.
I don't think that there's a walkabout guest that we've had yet that I wouldn't be able to do a full interview with. Again, they're all great. I love
100%.
That whole team.
Love the studio.
I loved when the other week I asked in the Discord, like, hey, who's some people that you would like to see us interview? And, you know, one of them was Guy Godin or Gooden. I never know how to print. I always feel bad when I pronounce people's names wrong, but much of stuff is stuff that you read.
You won't be the first person.
So Guy, Godin, do you think that that's Godin or Gooden? What would you guess?
Depends on how you want to say it.
Correct. Well, he was a big requested one. And then the number one other requested one besides him was more walkabout people. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's great to know that people don't get sick of those. I love the walkabout interviews.
Again, the studio gives off a good vibe. Their social mm-hmm. media, they give off a good vibe. Their Discord, telling you what, I mean, don't turn your back on that because they do daily shit. Daily.
Especially if you're looking to you know, find new people to play with, but of course the Rough Talk VR Discord is also great for that as well.
Yeah, no, dude, they do I'm telling you.
And I don't like to jinx things, so knock on wood, as long as everything goes well too, we will get an answer to how to pronounce Guy's name, as we're supposed to have him on the podcast to drop on Wednesday.
We'll
so a little spoiler, stay tuned for that.
We'll see.
If things change, I'll, you know, you'll hear, why are they muted on the video? Their mouth is moving, but I don't see them talking, you know? That's funny. But nonetheless.
It's pronounced Smith.
It's actually an alias. That's not even my name. Guy, you pronounce that guy? It's not pronounced Guy. What are you talking about?
Got the deep voice on.
Yeah.
No one knows who I am.
So, bunch of cool stuff this week, though. Yeah, and, you know, another cool one. It kind of feels like the Quest Pro was a little, not ahead of its time, like technologically, but conceptually. You know, I feel like if the Quest Pro was announced today after the release of the Vision Pro, people are a little bit more sold on productivity. I remember the price was very scoffed at. At the time, people did not like the price of the Quest Pro, which is now $999.
$4,000.
Correct. Now it's a little bit more attractive. So I think that the Quest Pro has a place in the market. And it was announced that officially Quest is Meta is partnering with LG to make a Quest Pro 2, launching sometime in 2025.
That makes sense. And you're probably going to see a lot of good.
They say the first half of 2025, but we know how hardware and stuff goes. Things change.
If they do it right, they'll like flex some of the similar technology that you can use in the Apple headset. And then it'll really come down to like, look, you're going to get so much more for your buck with the, because at the end of the day, you can play games on your Quest Pro. And there's a lot of games to play. And you can even have a subscription service.
You know, it had the face tracking, the eye tracking, you know, that's all pretty cool.
You'll have the cool avatar for business meetings.
Yeah, Meta's working on their Kodak avatars, which I'm sure are still so far away from even being on a Pro headset. I know that the time that Zuck used it with Lex Fridman on Lex Fridman's podcast, they did it attached to pretty high level PCs to run them as well. But the Kodak avatars, you know, that's a concept that now looks extremely attractive with, you know, in comparison to Apple's their photo scanning avatars that they do.
I saw something funny. I don't know why it came in my head while you were saying it, but wouldn't it be funny if like people would give Zuck this headset that like consumer never has, right? It's this wicked jacked out thing. Hey, check out how great everything is. And because it's his headset and it looks just like the ones the consumers have, he doesn't know what ours are really like.
Yeah.
So he's always like, oh my God, because you know the guy's pressed for time. He's got a lot of shit on his plate. Let me put the headset on. Oh my God, this thing's amazing. It's 4K, blah, blah, blah. Go on IG and shit, talk a bunch of smack, not knowing like the consumer was. It's just a funny script.
It's like an SNL of VR.
It's a good bit.
Sketch.
It's a good sketch, bit, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
So now the Quest Pro 2 coming sometime in the first half of 2024 or 2025, I'm sorry.
Yep. Next year.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool one, definitely.
It's good to know, because then we know it's coming a year and a half after that.
I probably won't be able to afford it at its price point, you know, if it's anything, if it's going to be
15? Thinking 15, 18?
Well, that's what the Quest Pro 1 was. Maybe they're going to be even a little bit more comfortable with high pricing since the release of the Vision Pro 2.
Or
the Vision Pro.
Maybe they go to the 1200 mark.
They started at 14 with Pro. And then they eventually dropped it to $999. Starting at 12 would look very attractive in comparison to $3,500.
Right. I mean, not that I can run out and drop $1,200 on a headset, but I mean, $1,200 isn't a bad, it feels nice, right? It doesn't feel like a full body blow. It feels like, you know, maybe a punch to the kidney.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah. And again, I think that there's a market for that type of headset. And like you said, that can still play games too. So let's see what comes of that. It would be a shame if...
And it's going to be a teaser to what we're going to be looking forward to with the Quest 4.
Well, I think that having a Pro model, in a way, kind of pushes forward the technology in a way that trickles down to the standard Quest line.
1,000,000%.
I think that, I mean...
They get to test it all out and run it to perfection on their more advanced headset, and then the next release, they know what to, you know, change it up a little. Of course, it won't have everything, but...
They built their production of the pancake lenses for the Quest Pro.
Yeah.
And now look, we have those in the Quest 3. And we have color pass-through, which might have come with or without a Pro. But definitely the Pro helped push forward, you know, the pancake lenses, which is a huge aspect of the Quest 3. So, I don't know. I support it. I'm curious to see what cutting-edge features they come with, whether or not I can have the headset. You know, affordability-wise, eventually those features will trickle down to me.
Anything over the 1K mark is out of justification for me.
And then kind of in funny news of the week, Google tried to convince Meta to,
good luck.
Yeah, to change their operating system to the Android XR platform that they're working on, you know, and asked Meta to help collaborate with them on it. It's kind of a little goofy.
Hey. How you guys over at Meta doing? You guys doing good?
Especially when, you know, Google was involved in VR very early. got out of it after 2 years, quit the game, said, nope, this ain't for us. Let Meta invest all of this money into research and development, putting out consumer headsets, really helped keep the market alive and helped grow the market. And now that things are looking a little bit profitable and Apple's in the game, they want to make their stuff. You know, Samsung wants to get in things and they all want to run it on their XR platform and they want Meta to switch over. It's like, hell no. The whole point of them investing, you know, $10 billion.
So they don't have to.
So if they have the lead on this stuff, and why are they going to switch to the companies that didn't give them the time of day before? The reality of when Meta and Google first got into making VR headsets, I mean, Meta was a social media company. They were Facebook. Mm-hmm. At this point in time, I mean, you gotta respect their place in the VR world as a hardware and software, you know, player.
How could you not?
So Google's to me, it almost feels like Google's trying to come in with this old guard mentality of like, look, we're the software people. Yeah. You're the social media people.
They're as much the software people.
And it's like, you'll kick rocks.
As Meta.
Google has no follow through. They have the Google graveyard. They have like five products that you can guarantee aren't going to go away. Google Search, Google Drive,
which are all great, by the way.
YouTube. And that's probably about it. Even sometimes when I'm using like Google Sheets and Google Docs and Google Forms, I'm like, I don't know if this is going to be here in 10 years.
Well, what is?
I mean,
for the most part,
Google took all of this money. They threw it into making a cloud-based gaming system, Google Stadia, bought studios, you know, invested all this money into it, and then quit halfway through, canned it all. I mean, that's what's going to happen. That's Google. That's what they do. It's like, I wouldn't do anything with that. I mean, dude, how can that kind of capital? I can't be an early adapter of any Google product until it's established because I don't have the confidence that's going to be around enough to invest the money into it. You know, once something's established, they'll keep it up.
I'll say safely again, because I'm not causing no beef. I think they're really good at conceptual shit. Like, because when they say stuff, even if it doesn't happen, it's like conceptually, it's great stuff, right? Just what happened, why they choose to just buy and abandon, I don't know.
No follow through. There's something wrong there.
Conceptually, with a lot of stuff they come up with, it's like, wow, it would be probably good.
Yeah, there's been so much great Google stuff that has gone away. And look, the Google stuff that sticks around is great. Like you said, all great products when I was listing off like the 4 to 5 that you know aren't going to go anywhere.
But those are all also, you know, that's all internet-based shit.
I'm confident Meta's going to be in the VR game in 10 years. Google puts out one headset and it doesn't get the results that they want in 6 months. I think that they're out.
Crash the whole department.
That's the way that they go. So it's like to try to bully them.
Which is weird because who better to advertise something that they make other than them? Well, right? It's like so I don't get how that couldn't work.
And this, what I would describe as strong arming almost, this kind of big brothering, like not respecting their place in the market attitude from Google is funny because not too long ago, Meta asked for approval to put flat screen Android apps on the Quest via the Google Play Store, and Google told them to kick rocks. Google doesn't, that's the reason that they lost the Chromecast support for a bit was because of Google protocol standards, you know, cutting them off. And it's like they're playing hardball. And then you want to turn around and say, switch your whole platform from your Quest platform to Android XR? Kick rocks, dude. Get out of here.
There is nothing actually stopping Meta from making their own YouTube.
Or not even you. Well,
get what I'm saying, though?
I'll be honest with you, though. Video platforms are seemingly hard to do. I've yet to see anybody do it really as good as YouTube, but
that's exactly Meta what I'm saying.
Probably, I mean,
TikTok
easier,
came in and cleaned house.
Meta could probably easier create their own flat screen app store and just let developers on an open, you know, Android platform submit it to them and try to run.
So
try to
like,
make it as compatible
like
with the Google Play.
They have the resources and the ability that if they really wanted to, if push came to shove, it's like they could do their own.
It's like, just think of how many apps are on the Google Play Store.
And if it was good, people would go there.
If Google let them just launch that store on the Quest, dude, open up any app on the Android Google Play Store. Let's go.
Yep.
Then just to be like, yo, let's switch your operating system.
Right now, it just seems
get
like,
out of here.
No, it just seems like corporate posturing.
Well, to me, it's the writing on the wall.
Or it seems like a conversation that took place in an elevator and it's getting like totally blown out of some proportion level, you know?
And I think it's better for the market for there to be three heavy operating systems on the market. You look at it, there's going to be Apple OS because I don't think that they're going anywhere. You're going to have Meta's software. Why couldn't they potentially license it out to other headsets as well? And then you're going to have the Android XR. That's much better than falling into the same trap as the smartphones. That is Android versus iOS.
Yeah.
No, let's have Android XR. Let's have Meta software. And then let's have the iOS VR, whatever the hell they call it. You know, I think that that's a lot better for the market than falling into that same iOS versus Android nonsense, you know?
Yeah.
And then
I agree with that.
Somewhere in the background, maybe they still exist or not. There's Pico, but we don't know. I think they're down.
Well,
I think they're down to a supply closet and a janitor.
Maybe Google could collab with them and come out with the Geeko.
Yeah, they're the ones that they should be reaching out to switch to Android XR. You know, but nonetheless, that was my funny news. So let's do one more or two more. Then we'll take our ad break before I forget. But this was a cool one. Zenith, a VR MMO. They announced, you know, maybe like a month ago that they were going free to play. And last week that officially kicked off. So they have paid options in there as well. But for anybody looking to check out the game, introductory wise, it's free to play, which is huge for a VR MMO just to get their player base up. And as well, they also launched a separate co-op mode called Infinite Realms, which they describe as procedurally generated season-based, whatever. So it's going to change over time. Co-op adventure RPG. They used quite a bit of labels on it. But that sounds fun. I'll go check it out. You know, Zenith, for whatever reason, didn't capture me in the MMO side. But I like co-op stuff. So if it's just something that me and you can do as like a little adventure RPG game,
let's go.
Yeah.
I'll go back in.
Especially, hey, we already owned it, so it's free.
Yeah.
It would have been for us anyway.
It's not hurting me.
But if somebody hasn't checked it out yet and you like co-op gaming, I mean, why not go pop in there? It's free. So I think that was a huge move for them. Maybe you fall in love with the combat-based system, the way everything works, like, and then you go check out the online.
If 100 people jump in there and 10 of them, it becomes their new favorite thing, it's a great thing. So
yeah, so I mean, I could.
And they're going to get you, you know?
Yeah, I could see that happening to me and you. Like, you play through all the co-op stuff, you love it, you want more, and you're like, well, why don't we go check out the online mode? Yep. It's free. And then maybe you fall in love with it, you buy some in-app purchases.
Correct.
And then,
again, free-to-play is always a tough. Unless you're game testing, it's a tough way to make a buck.
Yeah, but I think.
But if you got a good base and you're like, you know what? We can do all right with. You know, they're going to get you in the long run anyways.
And I feel like MMOs is one of those genres that people, when they get a new headset, they're like, oh, is there VR MMOs? Right. So then it's like, yeah, there's this free one. And then, you know, you go from there. So that's pretty cool. And then last piece of news before we take an ad break, and then we run through a whole bunch of stuff after that. I'm not too big on the band, but it's cool to see this company sticking with things. There's this VR video production company called Amaze VR. They've previously done some VR concerts that are probably the best example of VR, like 360 video filmed, you know, made for VR headsets. They've done some stuff with this other artist. I think her name's Megan Thee Stallion. I'm not into like huge pop culture, as you can tell. But another band, Avenged Sevenfold, they just launched another concert with Amaze VR. So for Avenged Sevenfold fans, that's quite big. And it's cool to see Amaze is there. I mean, those are two vastly different genres as well. They're just kind of...
Well, it's music, if you know.
They're developing... They're really laying the groundwork for high-quality VR video production, which is very rare to see.
Well, it's cool, too, because it's going to prove that, you know...
It can be done.
Yeah, and other people can get into... There's an area where Sony could probably...
Yeah, they have a lot of...
throttle it.
They have a lot of high-quality cameras
and
stuff like that.
Exactly.
But it's something that a lot of companies have tried to do, you know, the VR video production, and it's just always been a little more miss than hit.
It's just like looking at it's always rounded and gross.
A little pixely. I don't know. Yeah. There's always just something of a little uncanny valley effect with it where you're not quite 100% immersed, but Amaze VR does the best that anyone's done. So even if you're really not a fan of the genre of music being played in it, it's kind of worth checking out just if you're a fan of seeing the technology develop.
Well, or just know that, you know, your genre or something you're into might be coming out.
Correct. So I think it's worth supporting Amaze VR a bit. It's cool to see them continuing it, and hopefully that they continue to hit different genres and spread the word of like, hey, you know, VR is a thing and we can do high quality video. And you know what? I'll throw in one last one before we take a break. Beat Saber, because speaking of music, right, it's kind of fitting. Mm-hmm. Beat Saber, who's done an amazing job with DLCs. They're
love
pretty active.
Beat Saber.
Yeah, and that's even one that's a great example that you might not love the music or genre, but you might buy the DLC just because of how much you love Beat Saber.
Yeah.
But they launched a Daft Punk DLC. Not launched. They're launching a Daft Punk DLC on March 7th. So that's going to be pretty cool. That's one of those that have a cult following. I think people are going to get real excited about it. I already saw people kind of going crazy about the announcement, but when I think it actually launches, I think people are really going to be hyped for it.
Oh, 100%, dude.
Are you going to grab it?
Well, it's funny because I was just thinking, I'm like, how many times have I said no? And I think you even called me out on it once on the show, and you're like,
even for Smash
how long,
Drums,
how long
you'll
do
you it.
Think until you buy it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. Probably when I go home.
You're the king of it.
So, you know, yeah, they probably got me.
Because even if, I mean, how many Beat Saber songs do you play or have you played that, like, it's not like your favorite song? Like, it's not like a song you enjoy,
but you
play the map of it. You love you love the feel of doing it.
Each one kind of brings me, yeah.
So you might be missing out on your potential favorite map just because you don't like the song.
And
no.
I like to play, I like to play online sometimes, like, you know, against other people. So I hate not owning
Yeah,
I'd rather own it than not.
Get the most amount of matches possible. Yeah, you told me that you really like the competitive side of Beat Saber.
Yeah, because sometimes you can go in there and just beat the bejesus out of everyone for like...
I suck at Beat Saber.
Like sometimes, I won't lie, like if I go in there and I come in second more than like two or three times, I'm like, yeah, I ain't playing no more.
I'm done for the day.
Because I'm like, something's wrong. See you on Tuesday. I feel like I'm broken. And I look at the scores. And so, you know, sometimes I just get distracted because I try to
puke. Dude, there's levels to rhythm games. You'll see that. There's like, there's people that are just insane.
It's not like I'm doing the easy, the easy mode either.
You usually play on what, hard?
Yeah, I like to play on hard mode.
There's one higher than hard, right?
One or two.
Yeah. Beat Saber, like I said, I've done
a couple of them, but some of them I'm like, nah, I'm just.
I usually play on the lowest difficulty, and then if I'm feeling real risky, I'll go up one. That's kind of my limit.
And I'll use modifiers sometimes to like do the fading mm-hmm. blocks. So you lose. You only get a second to see what direction you have to hit it, and then it fades.
The only rhythm game I've ever really been good at was Ragnarok. I love Ragnarok.
You're good at Ragnarok.
And then there was that, oh man, I feel so bad I don't remember the name of it, but that kind of like rock band one. It was called Band Something. Band Camp or something like that.
Oh, no.
I feel so bad. During the ad break, I'll look up on my Quest library what the name of it is so I can give them proper shout out. But I wasn't bad at that one. I like that one because they had the guitar, they had the bass, they had the drums.
We didn't put enough time in on that one either.
We did one play session. But it's not a bad game. I would go back to it. Go check it out. That's one that you got to check out every 6 months or something. Give them time to develop.
Yeah, because if I remember, that's AppLab.
Yeah, but huge props to Beat Saber, continuing to put out great content. You know, like I said, coming out March 7th. And at the same time that the Daft Punk DLC was announced, it also came out that the last two remaining co-founders of Beat Games, the developers that make Beat Saber and since been bought by Meta, they've announced that they're also leaving the company. So on to bigger and grander things next in their mind, I'm sure.
How I really read that is the last two founding members who were waiting for the closings on their islands. It's finally happened, so they're retiring.
They had to have made bank off of.
No, fucking way. They're still making bank.
I mean,
you could buy Beat Saber as a whole right now today as a company, and you're still going to have positive cash flow.
365 days of the year on every single VR platform. 10. No, it's like top five.
Yeah.
Maybe even ridiculous. Top three. And then plus all the DLCs. Dude, You notice how they didn't throw a Beat Saber on the Quest Plus? Hell no.
No.
People are buying that shit at day one. People are buying headsets for Beat Saber. It's like, I'm not crazy about Beat Saber, but I understand its place in the market. It's a huge game.
It's fucking awesome.
So
dude,
like you said, these two guys, man.
Lightsabers, bro.
All the props to them. I don't mean that in any negative way. They're probably swimming in cash right now. But I have a feeling that they're going to do more. I don't think they're retiring and calling it quits. I think they're moving on to other things.
I mean, I won't lie, dude. I give a lot of people credit, you know, Beat Saber creators. I'll give Combat Waffle.
They continue even after making bank?
And that's just at their current. That's not like saying, I would sell.
I don't think that there's any.
I would be so scared that I would be like, who wants to buy my whole company?
People,
and then I would take that bag of cash and then I would.
People like that, I don't think that there's any amount of money that would make them stop working. Mm-hmm. What the money does is it makes it no stress. Now they can have fun with working.
Yeah.
Like now they can invest, do their own endeavors. But I don't think that people like that, I don't think that there's any amount of money that would get them to stop innovating and doing stuff.
Oh, I have a price. You know, I won't lie. And some of these studios have already surpassed. It would be a no-brainer. It's just like, all right. I mean, that's not saying I'd be a bum, but
dude, they got bought by Meta quite a bit ago. You got to give them props for staying in it for that long. I mean, before I think that they're just going to, maybe even if they don't do stuff together, I think that they're going to go move on to other things. Hopefully in VR.
It is a cash cow.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a smart studio buy.
Cash cow.
You know, Meta.
For years.
Meta's. Meta's bought some studios that haven't done much in a while. They don't really do much. Maybe there hasn't been the biggest return on investment in it, but B Games, there has been. One that I want to see. I haven't talked about it in like 6 months, so I'll bring it up. I think it's overdue. What? Twisted Pixel Studios, dude.
Yeah.
I want to see Path of the Warrior 2 so bad. It's like if they make any game and it's not Path of the Warrior 2, I'll obviously play it. I'll be happy. I'll check it out because they're a great studio. But I want Path of the Warrior 2, one of the greatest intro songs in all of VR gaming. I mean, dude, it was so fun.
So there was a frog game on flat screen. I think on Nintendo, PlayStation, I don't even friggin' remember. And it was co-op. And dude, the frogs were comical. It's like you could do those like comical kicks and punches and shit. If they came out, you'd forget all about Path of the Warrior 2. I can't remember what the game was, but it was funny as hell and fun as hell.
Yeah, I want me some Path of the Warrior.
Oh, that was fun.
So let's take a quick ad break, though, before we get carried away. But huge props to Beat Saber. I hope those co-founders, you know, if they retired and chilled on an island for the rest of their life, I wouldn't look at them negatively, but somehow I have a feeling they're on to other things, and hopefully it's VR-related. But huge props. And I can imagine now Meta's in full control. Let's see where the DLC direction and everything goes. I don't know. Maybe there was some resistance in some ways, you know?
Hell no, dude. The Beats. Oh, dude. No. They're good.
Yeah.
We're going to see great DLC still coming.
Yeah. Well, maybe,
no doubt.
Maybe different kinds of DLCs that maybe they didn't want to see before. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
They pretty much covered all the genres at this point.
Yeah, they've done a great job with
that. I'd love to see an Iron Maiden one. But, you know, I mean, now we're just, with everything that's truly there, right? Now it's just a matter of, like, selfish choices, you know, where one could go, well, I'd really love to see Pink Floyd, or I'd really love to see, you know, you'd love to see Dylan.
I don't think that would make for a good Beat Saber pack, but I say it for
comical
reasons.
It would for Dylan
reasons.
Fans, right?
I say it for comical reason.
But now you're just getting into the percentages of, I mean, they could, of course, could drop a Metallica one. I'm sure that would do good. The Doors, I'm sure that would do good. They already got the Stones.
And something you've said before, too, is anything that Beat Saber puts out, audio-wise, is so crisp.
So much better than the original.
Yeah. But here, let's take our ad break, and we'll come back. This is what happened. We get so easily carried away. We just have fun, though. We
motivate.
Have fun.
Stay
That's
focused.
All. It's hard. Blinders on. We got to put the blinders on.
It's Adderall.
It's hard for us. Well, we have the opposite. We have a whole bunch of coffee consumed.
Whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Keep moving.
So we'll be back with you after this ad break. But like always, you know, like to plug a little bit. We do have this great Discord channel.
No way.
A whole bunch of great VR discussion. You know, not only MetaQuest, you know, we're MetaQuest users. That's what we use, standalone MetaQuest. But there's PC VR users in there. There's Pico users. There's HTC Vive users. You know,
channel for everything.
Yeah. As well, beyond VR discussion, you know, we have like food discussion, pet pictures, you know, book club, music discussion,
it's villain month,
off topic discussion, whole bunch of cool stuff. So as always, go check out the Discord if you're a fan of the podcast. Kind of enhances your listening experience, I might even say. Mm-hmm. And as always as well, huge shout out to our Patreon supporters on our on-air shout out tier. We got Asim, Amelia, Earth Witness, Carson, Jake, Mike Morbid, Crispy, and Shoes. So thank you all for your continued support as well. I know they're not on the on-air shout-out tier, but, you know, it's a one-time thing. Huge props to Envy, who's very active in our Discord. He's not only our Discord, he's also pretty much always in the live premiere for our YouTube videos as well, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he joined the Patreon as well.
Yep.
Woo.
Thank you.
And we have a exclusive Patreon-only chat for Patreon supporters that even if you're not on the on-air shout-out tier, you get access to that too. So, whole bunch of cool stuff like that. So, go check out the Patreon.
And we do announce stuff in the Patreon channel.
Yeah.
Periodically.
I may or may not have put a Google form in there to submit questions for the virtual desktop interview coming up. I'm just saying, you know, there's some cool perks to being in the Discord or in the Patreon is all I'll say. And those memberships all are available through YouTube as well. If you're like, hey, I already have my info saved on YouTube or whatever. You're one of those people that you subscribe to people's, you know, subscription memberships on YouTube. So your stuff's already there. It's easy. Yeah, we have it available through YouTube as well. All the same costs, all the same perks. And then I just manually add you to the Discord Patreon chat instead of it being automatic like on Patreon. So.
And Earth Witness had a surgery last week.
Yeah, but it looks like he's recovering very well. So glad to see that. Earth Witness is a...
Did you expect him to show up in the... I actually was for a minute thinking he was going to show up in the live chat for the premiere. And I'm like, it wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, because he posted the picture.
Yeah, Earth Witness is awesome. He's a great part of our Discord activity, like Envy. You know, we have a whole bunch of
YouTube activity as well.
Yeah.
Dude's dropped some gangster, like...
Dude, I love the people in our Discord. We shout out before. Fun.
Yeah.
Chad, our moderators, Ken Canuck, Amelia, Shoes. You know, Shoes crushes it with the Discord. Amelia really crushes it too with all the game meetups and really pushing engagement and stuff like that.
Yeah.
As well as everybody that.
It's truly a community.
We got some of my favorite, what I'll say is media people in the VR industry for journalists and stuff like that. We got, you know, Henry Stockdale from Upload VR who. Yeah. You know, he's one of my main sources of VR news articles to read. Yeah. Personally, if you want that from me, you know, it's like your podcast, your favorite podcaster's favorite journalist, you know. We got Henry Stockdale and then we got Nicholas Sutrich in there a bunch from Android Central. Those two probably crush it more
We've
than...
We've all read their articles.
Yeah. Whether or not you know you have.
Correct.
Yeah, those two...
I love seeing the names when... I just love it when it's a great article.
Mm-hmm.
And I've brought this up so many times, but it still holds true. Like, you'll read something, and you really read the whole thing. It's not like you're skimming it. You're like, it's good. And then you read who, you know, who actually wrote it. And you're like, oh, shit, we know that, dude.
Yeah. So it's funny. See, I've even caught myself not realizing it's them until halfway through, and then I scroll up. I'm like, "Oh my god, it's Henry or it's Nick." So they're great. They're in our Discord. It's cool to have some of the best journalists in VR, even on our Discord. We got some other podcasters in there as well. So cool stuff. Go check out the Discord. Go check out the Patreon. As you see, we ramble. We told ourselves 5 minutes ago, stay focused, and it's taken us 5 minutes to get this far, but we do our best.
That is focused.
Yeah, well, so we'll be back with you in just a moment after this word from our sponsor, and we'll be back with you with the rest of the VR news.
This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code word RoughTalkVR for 20% off plus free shipping. After using Manscaped, I can finally say I have caught the spring fever. Introducing the season's champ, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth-generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also features dual LED spotlights to guide you through the darkest winter debris. Navigate with confidence in your delicate areas. Hate making a mess? Not to worry. This bad boy is waterproof. Shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the ocean. Spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped Signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code word RoughTalkVR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code word RoughTalkVR at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
And we are back. And I can't believe I made it this far into the episode without bringing this one up, because this was probably one of the biggest ones of the last week. Ghost of Tabor put out an update with a whole bunch of little game improvements and adjustments, but the big one being that they added a new map and a new boss, and it's the highly hyped Underground Maka, which, you know, Above Ground was really good map, but Tabor Island was still my favorite. I'm not going to say I like this one more yet. I need to go in more. But from first couple playthroughs of it, this is the first map that it's like, there's going to be times I pick this over Island. I mean, right. How many NPC kills did we get, dude?
I had 13.
Minimum of 10. Minimum 10 a run.
Yeah.
And now they have the raid timer.
That doesn't count to humans.
And now they have the raid timer. Yeah. So you can't just extract. Well, they always had a raid timer. That showed you how long was left, but they have a minimum extraction
before
time.
You can even.
The extraction points aren't available yet. Right?
Scott
when you
posted
go in.
It was coming. He said it's going to change the game for the people that just like to run in there and run right out. It's like those days are over. You can go to an extraction site, but.
I really liked it because there was a point that we went to go extract because we found, we were like, oh, that looks like an extraction thing.
Dude, we were in there for a little while too. It's not like it was five minutes.
And like, then we're like,
maybe
well,
it was, who knows?
I remember our attitude switched from we were getting out with our stuff to we're like, well, we might as well just go hunt and sit here.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're both accepting that we're going to die, right? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, this
My
is just about hunting.
My backpack was pretty full.
My backpack was loaded to the gills. We're like, all right, well, now we just got to hunt till it's done. And now, we're not getting out. That was our exception. I mean, that's what we accepted. Yeah. And then we ended up getting out and we killed a shit ton more NPCs.
with even more shit.
And one of
Holy moly.
I was so excited to see they have the old bunker for the OG players. The you know, the new bunker is sick. I used to say I liked the old bunker more. I think I had this little nostalgia with it. But then getting to revisit it was very cool. But I was like, nah, the new bunker is way better. It's like not even a question.
It was like playing in an old Atari to me.
Yeah.
Like in your head, you're like, oh, these games were the greatest. Then you look at it and you're like, to walk through the whole thing, though. It was
cool.
It was mad cool. And so I love the way that they're adding some of that
nostalgia for the old players.
For a game that's, you know, so fucking new, dude. Even how quickly it was developed to already have the ability to add like
and then there's
its own nostalgia to it is mind boggling.
There's kind of that lore connection too. That's like, oh my God, while we were playing before we were in Maka.
And for the new players who are going to stumble into the room, they would never have been able to have seen how that looked.
No.
Ever. They'd have nothing to compare it to.
And so it's cool that they didn't just get rid of those assets. They got to really put them to use.
Yeah.
And then you
forget how big that original bunker is, too.
Well, it looks like that there was a lot more added into it as well than was available before.
Open, you know?
Yeah, there's some more stuff. But that doesn't compare it to the new bunker, in my opinion.
That was probably the whole original layout, though.
Correct. That like, even if we didn't have access to it, you know,
if we never changed it, this is eventually what it would have been.
Yeah. So that was really cool to see. Then for PC VR players as well, they also added the streamer cam.
Even
that was very hyped. Proper D hyped it. Proper D's been hyping that one up. Yeah, I mean, he started hyping that one up to us a while ago in our interview with him on Tabor Radio. And now
what's
it's
that?
Cool. The streamer cam.
Oh yeah.
And it's cool to see that finally dropped for the PC VR crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also added a reconnect feature. So, you know, there were some bugs at launch of the new map.
Makes sense.
In classic Combat Waffle Studios fashion. Quick hot fixes, quick updates.
Put their gangster team on it.
Oh my goodness, overnight.
Dude, they don't ever stop.
But full disclosure, I did crash once. I walked backwards into a wall.
Yeah.
And as soon as I hit the wall, I regretted it because I crashed. And I was like, it's because I hit that wall. Well, I know it.
It's weird because you said you walked into a wall, but visually,
I was walking backwards.
On my screen, you weren't near the wall. I was able to walk clearly around you.
That probably means, like, even though I disconnected on my screen by the wall.
You were one of my 13 kills that night, by the way.
It was probably the last time the server had a connection with me then was when I was standing over there, so it didn't register me as being over there, but I walked backwards.
And you were holding your gun really good.
Well, because I was walking backwards, like, trying to...
I wasn't convinced.
...clear over to the side of the wall, and I crashed, and then I got an option. This is something that Scott hyped up to us, to try to reconnect to the game. Mm-hmm. And it said it's in beta. Unfortunately, in that moment, it didn't work. And I'm like, yeah, it's because my guy's stuck in the freaking wall. And you're like, he's not in the wall. I'm like, I know, but it's where I left off. And I know I'm not going to be able to get back in because that's where I left off. I tried to reconnect like 100 times, but it's like, dude, that feature's rolling in. So in the rare time that there is still a crash, as that feature improves, you'll be able to reconnect back into the same, as long as your guy's not dead yet.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't get shot in the head, it hit the point. I'm like, just shoot my guy in the head. I'm not able to reconnect.
Yep. But then, I did too.
Yeah. But the new map, dude.
Took a couple of things out of your backpack.
As you should.
Yeah.
As you should. But it's cool that they at least are, implementing and, going to improve that feature. That's very clear in beta still.
Say it all the time. The game gets nothing but better and better. And it's like, I noticed something else in it. When I went into the market, it's like I've become usually when you go into the marketplace, for me, there'd be like this one. Right when you load into it, it was almost like a screen correction or something.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. No big deal. It's literally 1 second of my life. But lately I go into the market and it loads. It's smooth. I can turn around and start walking to where I want to go.
Yeah. No, I agree. Oh, the new, when you pause the menu in it.
Yeah, the interface.
It's sick. They just have so wherever you're at, your app, but then they have the option to go to either the market.
Using the thumbnails instead of just text.
Correct. Before you had to pause the menu and go through a couple different menu selections and then, travel to the market. Now you just pause and it's right at the main pause to travel to the destination. It's just a nice little...
It's a subtle change, but it's a nice one.
Yeah, so great stuff from Combat Waffle Studios. I think this update overall is just a huge win for the game. It's a great update. Probably the best map that's been added to the game since Island.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of it. You got two enclosed maps, right? You got this one and you got Silo, and then you've got...
This one's kind of a weird combo of Silo and Island to me.
And then you've got the above ground, and then you've got Tabor Island. So it's like...
They're crushing it.
This new one is
it's huge under there too.
Awesome. It's scary in a way.
Your first time in, you're going to get lost.
I was in there alone after you...
I know.
You glitched out, and I just...
You got, you almost got, 15 kills that night, too, before you died?
Yeah, dude, and it got to the point where I had no ammo of any kind. Mm-hmm. I had to bum rush the...
Yeah, you got a neck snap.
And fucking break his neck, and I'm like, the other guy's right there shooting at me, so I'm like,
you died like
what,
I think you bled out, right?
Yeah.
You died by environmental.
Environmental situation.
Unfortunate, too, but, you did your best.
Dude.
But you still got a shit ton of XP for it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I love that map. To me, it's everything great about Silo in the sense of a whole bunch of close quarter combat, easy to find loot because it's so close quarters, but it is kind of expansive with a lot of exploration. Not like Island, course, but I don't know. It's kind of the best of both worlds of those two maps to me.
It's going to take a little while to figure out all the nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
There's a ton of areas.
Yeah. They did a great job with that one. They got some shout outs to the media team. I saw Soul's name on the wall. That's cool. I always like that they do that stuff.
Yeah, I try to always... the past couple of nights we played, I'm literally just playing for the sake of wanting to get familiar with, but now when we were playing last night, I was reading all the graffiti and shit. Because you never know what you're going to read.
Oh, that's one of those maps too that I don't feel safe anywhere.
No.
Because around... you can't see around the corner until you got to really breach around it really nice. You got to really, get around. You can't just go hugging the wall and you pop out and... I don't know.
No, it's another...
A lot of close quarter combat in that one. It's good.
It just gets better and better.
Yeah. Dude, there was one point where I happened to have my gun up, which I usually do, but I was just was happened to be looking this way, and this mofo, just real human, popped out, and I just lit him up right away.
went running around the corner.
I was like, whoo, that's a good point. You're never safe in this map. Like, at any point, somebody could just pop out a corner.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're running, I'm going to hear you.
Yeah, I'm so glad that
sounds. I'm going to hear you.
So glad you got out with your gun last night because you had the laser on it.
Yeah.
But you just ran out of ammo, but that's okay. Now you can buy more ammo.
Yeah.
Can't get a new laser.
Yeah, there's some
easy.
Good, there's some good freaking loot to be had, man.
Yeah, so great update all around, you know.
Great. Great sounds a lot like grim.
We got to say grim at least once. And Silent North.
I'm going to say grim every episode in some capacity. I said it during the interview last week.
How many times do I have to say grim for Spoon to pop up, you know? It's like a...
He doesn't work like Beetlejuice.
Yeah, there we go.
Dude, that dude is strapped to his...
Yeah, between working on Ghost of Tabor and Grim, gangster.
It's not even funny.
But I can't wait for Grim to come out. Everybody that we talked to from Combat Lawful. Yeah.
I posted this morning just to, because I've noticed a common theme. When's Grim coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Can I play it? Like, I get wanting to play something, but to just flat out ask somebody, like, give it to me?
Yeah, when are we going to be able to play it is much different than can I play it?
Yeah, can I play it?
Even if it means the same, even if that's the same
attention. The occasional logical question, you know, will it be on Quest? Which, you know, yes, it will. It's a great question to ask, right? Can I play test it? I filled out an application and I made a mistake. I've seen that one a couple of times. And then this is one of my favorites. I was banned from the Ghost of Tabor Discord. Can you help me get back in?
Don't go into another Discord about issues with another game. Even if it's the same company, don't do it.
Well,
shame on you.
Side note, they'll actually give them advice too, the moderators.
Really?
Yeah. They'll be like, okay, talk to so-and-so, or one time somebody fixed it for somebody. Mm-hmm. So depending on what it is, the tactic worked, but I agree with you. Like,
conceptually.
And then my last one, it's great, is the questions about, like, where can I find someone to play Ghost of Tabor with?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I thought at first, I'm like, it seems innocent enough, but you literally joined a Discord server called Grim.
Mm-hmm.
And you're asking.
I know. That's why I said before,
so
don't join
bizarre.
One Discord for other stuff.
I was like, how do you accidentally join a Discord
server? It was an accident. They knew what they were doing.
Grim.
Yeah. Grim, I'm so pumped for it. Every person we talk to from Combat Waffle, when we bring up Grim, they go, oh.
Because they're playing it.
Yeah, they know. I can't wait. I'm excited for that.
They're killing their batteries, dude.
So we got one more bigger one, and then I'll kind of try to rush through the rest of the stuff because, you know, like we said, can't stay focused. It's what we do.
What are you going to do?
But Contractor Showdown, I referenced it at the top with Contractors being on the list of games in Quest Plus, which Contractor Zombie Mode. I mean, there's a lot of
favorites.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth to Contractors. They really crushed it with mods and different game modes. What I mean by mods is, like, dude, you can mod the game right from in menu. You don't even have to, like, plug your computer into a headset. I mean, you don't have to plug your headset into a computer.
I knew you
or anything
there.
Like there. Yeah, I stumbled a couple times, but it happens by the hour point.
Oh, stroke out.
But their zombie mode is still.
It's fun.
Amazing.
Challenging.
So if you like co-op gaming, you know,
good upgrades.
You got that Quest Plus subscription, you haven't played Contractors yet, definitely go check that out. But besides that, Contractors Showdown is their next game. It's a battle royale game. It's going to come out, I believe, sometime Q2 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting close. They rolled out an open beta that's going to take place 3 different weekends. It was this past weekend from March 1st to March 3rd. It's going to be next weekend from the 8th to the 10th, and then the following weekend from the 15th to the 17th, and it's free. You can just go check it out. There's no embargoes, no NDAs, no application. Nope. Just go check out Contractors Showdown. It's in open beta, though. There's definitely still some rough
issues
around the edges. Yeah.
Yeah.
I crashed out one time. There's some jitter. You know, it's in open beta.
I'll tell you what, though. How many people were in the server last night at the same time?
So it's a 16 square kilometer map, which is huge. But dude, we loaded in with 60 people into a game.
Mm-hmm.
It said 59 out of 60.
Yeah.
That's insane for the Quest 3.
That's a lot of fucking people.
And you know, I love Contractors. I don't mean
how
this.
How big is the map?
They said 16 square kilometers.
I'm going to check something while you're... While we're talking,
what,
okay.
The convergence of that to square miles?
No, I just want to check it against something else that's coming.
Okay.
That's supposed to have a really big map. So I want to see what the size comparison is because we got kind of a glimpse how big it was when we played.
And you can see the influences of this game. Like I said, I love Contractors, but they're definitely heavily inspired by Population One in this game. I mean, there's a parachuting element that's very similar to flying in Pop One. There's a lot of the sheds, the windmills, a lot of just the environment.
Yeah, there was some definite Pop One vibes.
I mean, it's a battle royale. You can get knocked down and then revived. I mean, there's a lot of Pop One influence with the kind of mixture of the Contractors buying and upgrading elements in the vendors and earning cash and different loadouts of weapons and stuff like that too. So to me, it was like a more realistic Pop One. Graphically, it's sick. Like on the Quest 3 to have 60 people with that size of map and look like that is...
I was confused with, and I don't know why, I guess if we had just played, because it seemed like when we first did the first run, neither one of us had a gun, nothing, and then we got killed.
Because we went into combat thinking that we had guns.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't work that way.
No, you go in and you get your guns. But here's the thing, they give you a quick tutorial that doesn't teach you too much. It just teaches you how to shoot, how to move, and how to navigate your kind of inventory and loadout and stuff like that. But they don't really teach you too much like the concept of buying stuff and how you're going to load in and what you do in your main hub.
No.
It's all trial and error for
us. Main hub area's got so much shit there.
They give you unlimited cash and you buy stuff, and I don't really think that buying stuff does anything or anything like that. So, I mean, I was a little confused. It took me a couple of runs to get my feet in the ground with it, but, you know, Contractor Showdown shows a lot of potential.
I had fun. I want to go back in and play it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it almost, and this is not a knock to it because I guess righteously it makes a lot of sense, but it seems like cherry-picked portions of other really proven good games.
It feels like Contractors meets Population One. It feels like the shooting and gameplay mechanics of...
and some other games. I'm not going to call them out because I don't want to...
Well, there's nothing wrong with being inspired by other games and taking what works. You see how many games are doing that kind of gorilla tag movement. It's very clear where they got the influence of it from.
Yeah, and even Underdogs.
Yeah, they kind of do that grab and pull. It's kind
of... But you don't have to go very far. You're in the
area, and it's not like racing or anything like that in that type of locomotion either, but it's very clear where developers got that influence. So I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, hey, we saw what worked with Population One, and we threw that in with the Contractor's engine.
And I wonder if those windmills are a little respect to Population One.
Well, yeah, again...
I mean, because it's just weird, right?
It's very similar environmentally with just way better graphics. And again, instead of the flying in Population One, you use the parachute. And it's cool when you first load in to, you know, the showdown, the Battle Royale, just like Population One, they have the pregame area that everybody's kind of, you know, messing around in, shooting each other until the game actually starts and there's enough players. And then you go into the actual game. And then just like Population One, you are on a big platform. This one, you're on a giant ship that's, you know, you'll see everybody jump out of it. With 60 people jumping out of the ship as it flies across the map, it's pretty cool to see.
Like jumping out of the back of a C-130.
You'll hear a lot of them talking shit as they jump out, too, so it's funny to hear their last words. But this ship's flying across the top of the environment, and then you choose when to jump off. And then, boom, you start to parachute out. But don't jump out right away like me and you did one time.
You will die.
Yes, because you're going to be outside the play area. So let it fly through the map a little bit.
It's like Call of Duty style there, that one online everyone plays.
Yeah, dude, you can see that they took a lot of elements of things that worked in other Battle Royales, flat screen and in VR. So
Fortnite, same shit.
Yeah, there's no building in this one, but the ability to find, like, you have to loot right at the start.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding the vending machines when you get cash. And then there's perks that you can attach to your character.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of potential with this one, so.
There is a learning curve, but it's only, you know, we're talking, it's beta.
I would say more realistic more realistic gunplay than Population One. Not as realistic as Ghosts of Tabor.
No.
That's why I say it's kind of like Population One meets like Contractors.
20%.
But again, they showed really good graphics, really good shell. You know, I'm excited to see or to play more in the next couple weekends and also see what comes in the full finished product.
Hell yeah.
So huge props to the studio on that. And it's really cool the way that they're marketing it, giving it, you know, letting anybody go in for weekend at a time, let everybody, you know, they can probably cool, do some fixes.
They can analyze the data during the week,
correct,
fix what they need to fix. Here's where it crashed. You crashing is a report.
Correct.
Know? So it's
somebody
it's,
saw that.
Hell yeah.
You know, that's so a log somewhere. Benefit. Hell yeah. And
with that many players at once.
And letting people make content with it, you know, no NDAs. We're able to talk about it.
Anybody can.
I mean, I'm more likely to buy this game at launch after having played it. And it'll probably be even more so after two more weekends.
I just hope there's a more aggressive tutorial.
I agree. And
not even for the mechanics.
No, what to do in the game.
Shit. Yeah, like the action. Like,
I don't know how to explain it. They did a great job teaching you how to navigate and shoot and move and, you know, reload and all that. But they, and unless I missed something, unless there's like an advanced tutorial section I didn't see, because I did kind of want to get into the gameplay.
No advanced. Or maybe we're just slow.
I missed a lot then. Brother, you know, I don't know what was going on there, but I went in confused. It took probably what, three runs before the fourth one. Confident.
It was the most obvious too. Go and loot. I just don't recall them saying like,
no, you don't.
When you load in, you are going to have nothing.
Then what's the point of the vending machine in the hub that with all the cash? I don't understand. Somebody needs to explain this to me because I'm slow.
I don't know what that means.
But you know.
Because, yeah, they got both the perk and the vending machine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That was kind of my last big one.
Someone's going to set it straight real quick.
That was kind of my last big one of the week, but we'll try to go through the next stuff pretty fast. And another one that was really cool in terms of VR shooters. I mean, geez, news from Ghost of Tabor, Contractor Showdown, and now Breachers. They added a second team deathmatch map called Outpost. So that's pretty cool. Mm. Breachers are always hard at work. That's one that I'll go a little quicker on because, you know, a little short on time. We ramble. It's what we do. Draftcraft as well. They've been hyping up their multiplayer for quite a bit. Mm-hmm. That officially launched this past week. I feel like that's pretty big news.
That's
a lot
good
of people,
for them.
Yeah, a lot of people like Draftcraft, and anything like that is always more fun with a friend, in my opinion. So that was a huge one. And then also Aspyr 1, which is on the list of Quest Plus games, they're getting a Quest 3 update. That's really cool.
It's really, I like to, yeah.
I like Aspyr, Mike, the developer.
Yeah. Sometimes liking the people too make you like their shit even more.
Yeah.
But their stuff, and I try to separate between like, well, because you like the person doesn't mean you have to like their stuff, but it just so happens that.
It's like being a sports commentator and liking the athlete. You're like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. How could you not though?
Yeah.
You get involved with it. If you are a boxing commentator, like you're not going to have a favorite boxer.
Dude, we talk to developers for an hour at a time. I'm not going to start to like some of them. Like they're cool people.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, Aspyr Mike is a great example of that. Every time that we've talked to Mike, I want to go play Aspyr.
Right.
And we're talking about Aspyr 1 getting a Quest 3 upgrade, but Aspyr 2 has probably the best mixed reality example that I've seen yet.
Hell,
it won
yeah.
our mixed reality experience of the year.
Especially if you got a really nice house. Oh my God, you're going to fucking have so much fun.
It's a great, you know, just the potential of mixed reality is really shown in that game mode. And it's just a game mode of Aspyr 2. So go play Aspyr 1 as part of Quest Plus and then go support a great developer studio with Load Games, LODE.
Was he in Australia?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, great, great.
Dynamite.
Great dude. So go check out Aspyr 1 on Quest Plus. Then go check out Aspyr 2 with their mixed reality. Go support a great dev studio without a doubt.
He was the one where during the interview, people started showing up to work too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I like to see
he
that.
Went up, he obviously our time to Australian time
he
is different.
Probably in the next day, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, getting there like 5, 6 a.m.
And it was cool because people were coming in. They were in the background.
Yeah. They were like, oh, shit. You know,
but went right to work,
mm-hmm.
putting a headset on. It was cool to see that going on in watching the machine work.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, it was a pretty cool looking studio. It was pretty wide open.
After we fall
like
off
that.
The ruse.
Yeah. So another one, Guardians Frontline. They rolled out their update 1.5, adding new enemies and a higher level cap.
Some weapons too, I think.
Yeah, I think they might have added some new weapons in there.
New weapons.
It looked like that in the trailer that they showed. So
new,
Guardians
new
Frontline,
enemies.
It was like a strategy.
It's a fun game.
Real-time strategy.
It's not easy.
Shooter. That's available 1 to 4 players. Dude, it's so much fun setting up the turrets, dealing with the waves of bugs. They have like custom map builder Dude, mm-hmm. Guardians Frontline was a game that was on App Lab, got picked up by Fast Travel Games publishing side, and brought to the official Quest store.
Makes me wonder if Fast Travel actually tapped on their door after seeing it.
I wonder,
like, you know what? You have something here, you know.
I always wonder in those things who
put the arm around them and everything. Like, yeah. You know, you have something here.
Who approached who is always a good question. So
yeah, in this particular case, I would actually think that they approached them.
So huge props to Guardian Frontline. You know, it's not a game that's abandoned, still getting updates and pretty significant ones as well, too. So if you haven't checked out that one, that's a great one. And then one of the best modding teams in VR that specializes in standalone VR modding. That's huge, in my opinion. They put all their VR flat screen mod ports on SideQuest. Dr. Beef. They just rolled out, I'm sorry, Team Beef.
Yeah. So
Dr. Beef.
Did Team Beef promote themselves?
Yeah. Team Beef, they rolled out a trailer for Tomb Raider VR coming. That's huge.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider. Yeah. I'm old school Tomb Raider. I'm talking like, you know,
the pointed
tits.
Yeah.
You know, not even jiggles, the cylinders or the prisms. You know, the prisms.
Yeah.
Dude. Hilarious. Laura Croftman, what an IP right there. Tomb Raider.
It built a franchise.
To be able to
get the hell out of here.
Hell yeah.
And movies, then, action figures.
So getting the OG in VR. Let's go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Huge props to them. Like I said, one of the best modding teams in VR. I mean, they've done great ones like Doom,
mm-hmm.
Jedi Knight Academy. I mean, great stuff. When they're huge, like, you got to buy the game, no?
And still no GTA
for us. They might even do it before Meta at this point. Let's see.
They should just hire them.
In terms of headset news, Apple Vision Pro, reportedly, the Apple Vision Pro 2, a sequel, a follow-up to the Apple Vision Pro.
Already
is reportedly set for mass production in late 2025 or early 2026. So that's already a reasonable time. No, 2 years. That's fair. I mean, that's kind of the Apple method.
I won't hold their feet to that fire.
I was kind of expecting a new one in a year. Isn't that messed up? Because, like, that's kind of the rate of innovation of the early models.
I guess the thing that excites me is they're in for it.
In the long run.
At least for, well, long run of at least 5 years.
I'm more confident in them sticking around the Google.
Instead of looking at their numbers and being like, does it make sense for us to do another one in 2 years?
Well, and they sold enough of them that, you know, I'm not saying that they made money on it, but they pulled some hefty revenue. They pulled over $1 billion based off the reported initial sales off of it. That's the benefit when the thing costs $3,500.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to move too many of them to hit high
revenue. No, 10 of them is $35,000 right there.
And again, that's just revenue. I'm not saying what they made profit.
A billion?
They could have still lost $10 billion.
So it'd be easy math. Just take $1 billion, divide it.
Well, I don't remember the exact number, but that billion number is based off of report. I think they sold 200,000 of them at launch or something like that.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Good for them. I mean, they're in for the long run. Like I said, I expect that the ecosystem is going to be, we have Vision OS, whatever they call their iOS in VR. We're going to have Meta's operating system, like I said before, and Android XR. The one of those three that's the most likely to drop out is Android XR. I have the feeling Apple's not going anywhere. And
short term, no. Long term, we'll see.
I think we'll see each one get a little bit cheaper, with the cheapest it ever gets being like $1,500 to $2,000. I don't think that they'll ever hit that $1,000 unless they start to do models. Yeah.
You can't buy a new phone for
that's
under
what I'm
1,000.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. So I think that they're we'll see it
and
get cheaper.
And this is a phone with goggles.
I think
so
we'll get
come
it.
Come on, man.
I think we'll see it get cheaper each model until about the cheapest we'll see is 15, but probably more reasonably $2,000 is the cheapest we'll see it get, in my opinion.
$1,500?
I'm not talking next year for the Apple Vision Pro 2. I'm talking in like
Apple's
Vision
game
Pro
isn't
3,
to give
5.
Anything away cheap. That's just their deal. They don't cheapen
Correct.
Anything.
Yeah.
So
iPhones were really expensive.
I
they
see
got
them
cheaper.
Setting their bars. How's an iPhone got cheaper? New iPhone is dangerously expensive.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? It's like when
but
do
the
they...
technology and it's gotten much more justifiable for
they're
it.
Apple,
too.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's their thing.
I just
That's
don't
what
see
makes
them sticking
them special.
With I don't
it's
see
like,
them sticking
you know,
with $3,500. Maybe I'm a little too optimistic.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And the next one's going to cost $4,000.
You think they're going to go up, not down?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, man. I think that they'll
Hell yes.
I think they'll eventually try to hit at the the highest to 2K is eventually in the long run.
They've got a number in their head that if they hit it, they're happy, and they're probably already going, well, let's go up fucking $500. And if we sell 15% less, who cares? Mm-hmm. We made the same money. And then next 2 years,
we got T-Pain walking around with it.
We'll go up to 6,000. Yeah, it's Apple.
So, yeah.
They'll have like a chrome one, and someone will have a gold one.
But hey, like you said, at least we know for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
They're doing stuff, you know? So we'll see. And we'll probably hear about a Vision Pro 3 in the works right after the Vision Pro 2. Let's see where this gets in by
the Apple contact lenses.
2030 is going to be the fun time, you know, when that's the estimated time that Meta wants to put out their AR glasses with neural wristband control, you know, and let's see where VR headsets are by then, what Vision Pro we're on. The world's going to be fun by 2030, so long as we make it.
It's going to get faker and faker, folks.
So long as we make it, but... You know, in other news, just to get through the rest of them, a VR farming sim across the valley launched on App Lab. It's pretty cute. You know,
it's a cute one.
Yeah, it's $9.99, reduced price. They say for a limited time, no specific.
Then it goes up to 14.
Doesn't, or 20.
$14.99.
Well, we don't know when. There's for a limited time. It's $9.99. For $9.99, it's a cute little farming sim. I mean, it is what it is. My only gripe on it is that it's single player. Mm. I wish it was co-op. I would farm with you in it.
Dude. The real farming simulator. I'll call it the real one because to me, there's really only one true farming simulator.
Farming sim?
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah.
They even have tournaments now.
Is that one cool?
Esports.
Single player?
Co-op.
Oh,
dude. You can have a farm, dude, literally.
See?
Like, I'm telling you, like.
I hate when single.
Huge.
It's always a shame when.
You could each be doing shit. Like, you could be. Getting the hay ready and I could be coming through with the baler and someone else could be picking it up, or you could be chopping down the wheat and I could be picking it in the back of the truck, and each doing, you have a functioning, and you can open it up to your friends to go to your farm when you're not there to do shit.
So cute little farming sim. Doesn't hit the co-op spot, but hopefully it convinces another farming sim with co-op, or that if they add co-op to this one, cool. I'll get into it. I don't know if I'll hop into a single player. I know it's a little bit more your genre.
It's a pretty stacked month already. So.
Oh, my. I'll get into that actually next. So that just launched, though. Boom. It's on App Lab, $9.99. Whole bunch of stuff coming in March. Check this. Swarm 2 is coming out March 7th. A follow-up to, you know, Spider-Man with guns is even what they say in their trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Looks really cool. You know, it's action roguelite. You're swinging through the air, shooting stuff. I'll definitely have to check it out. It looks tight. So that's coming out March 7th. The Pirate Queen, another one that we've been so excited for. We've hyped it up a bunch. Voiced by Lucy Liu. She's involved as a producer. A narrative story adventure game. That's also coming out March 7th. March 7th is a competitive one. It's also coming out March 7th. We have Walkabout Mini Golf's new DLC that we talked about earlier. Ice Lair. That comes out March 7th. Oh, that's an exhaust. That, I mean, all those are fun. I want to check that out. One that we talked about a bit last week, Stilt, that's coming out March 8th. That one looks pretty cool. That one's like kind of another guerrilla tag movement. You're kind of like bouncing around, look goofy. So that whole week is stacked. Next week after that, on March 14th, we have Humanity that we talked about last week with the Shiba Inu dog leading the humans through like puzzle adventures. Looks pretty trippy. Was pretty high acclaimed in flat screen and in PlayStation VR. Awards. That's how the trailer starts, all the ribbons. So that's coming out March 14th. A goofy looking one that I so wish was co-op. It's called Paint the Town Red. It's coming out March 14th as well. Dude, that one looks goofy. It's like Crisis.
Minecraft meets Drunken Bar Fight.
Yeah, it's like those Crisis Brigade 1. It's like those square block graphics, which, by the way, is another great App Lab one that still holds up to this day. But this game is ultimate pixelated gore. It's just like beating up everything. You can punch them, you can shoot them, slash them, smash them around. Like you said, some drunken bar fight element to it. So that one looks silly. Single player only. Probably worth checking out. But I would love that one co-op. But that's coming out March 14th as well. And then on March 21st, lawn mowing sim, technically, not mower sim, lawn mowing sim is coming out March 21st.
It's my flat screen jam.
Yeah. They put out a trailer of it. I saw that one on Upload VR. I was like, dude, no freaking way. I'm so hyped for that one. Unfortunately, that one's single player as well, but nice chill experience.
Sorry. I know.
You loved it flat screen.
Fuck yeah.
That's like getting Power Washed in VR to you. You know, I know you're excited for this one.
I'm not disappointed.
So that one is a hard one for you to pass up. And it's a shame because on that same day, March 21st, we're also getting Max Mustard from Toast Interactive, the studio behind Richie's Plank Experience. I'm so excited for that one. That's coming out, like I said, March 21st as well. And then Medieval Dynasty, New Settlement, the VR.
Stoked.
Yeah, that's coming out March 28th. And you love the flat screen one. You told me about the flat screen one like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You were hooked on it. You were telling me like weekly about your day-to-day adventures with it.
It's wicked cool.
Turning on the mods, which you say is like the only way.
I mean, I've got two things going, the modded one and the not. Mm-hmm. And it's I play with the modded one for just pure like sandbox mode type mentality because the struggle is real. Your ass will freeze to death, starve to death. I mean, you got to make relationships with people, but there's so much to do in the flat screen. So I'm really curious. I actually have it already still installed in my new Xbox.
Yeah, it always looked fucking tight. I never checked it out, but you hyped it up a lot. Oh, and you like have like so dynasties, you make families, there's like some role playing.
You build a whole freaking town.
Yeah.
Legit.
And you got to build your dynasty in there, yo.
Yep.
So I'm excited.
Lots of quests.
It looks like some crafting, cooking, town management features, mm-hmm. some 100%. RPG. Oh, man, I'm excited. And I saw them post a trailer on their Instagram, and somebody commented, and they were like, multiplayer, ? And then they actually responded and said, we're working on it. So that'll this game multiplayer, yeah. Oh, my goodness. So that's March 28th. And, in fact, all of 2024 is stacked, you know, besides just what's coming out in March. Later this year, we're getting one called Requisition VR. That's coming out Q1 2024, and it looks so fun. It's a zombie one that you craft anything. Like, you pick up anything in the environment, tape them together, basketball with a saw, you know, bounce it, and then stab the zombies with it. Something that spins with something with a blade you could go crazy with, just a regular gun. You name it, you can craft it in this and kill some zombies. Another one that I think is just single player that would probably be badass co-op, but I'll have fun with this one. Zombie crafting, survival, weapon sim in a weird way. You know, I'm excited for that one. So that's coming out Q1 2024. VRSO Bare Knuckle Fighting is coming out Q2 2024. And that one looks too good to be true. Remember when they dropped the trailer of that like late last year? And it was like, no way.
Anything new, though, so.
No. And they were doing full motion cap with it.
Kind of, like, concerns me a little.
Yeah. There's supposed to be, like, a career mode and stuff in there, too. Oh, man, that one looked tight. I'm excited. That one's coming out Q2 2024, theoretically. Talked about it last week. Wanderer, Fragments of Fate, that's coming out June 27th. One of my most hyped of the whole year. And then also, some point in 2024, we're getting the official MetaQuest store launch of Toy Monsters, a game that's Plant vs. Zombies in VR. You can get it for a discounted price on App Lab now, but the price will go up when it hits the official MetaQuest store. And there's going to be boatloads more content on the official MetaQuest store than there is now on App Lab.
Wicked fun, though.
Wicked fun. If you love Plant vs. Zombies, get it now for the reduced price. Play around with what's on there now. And then when it officially launches on the MetaQuest store, you get to have double, triple the amount of fun. The game is tight. So that's coming out later this year as well. So, oh, and then also, Zero Calibur 2 is coming out spring 2024. Dude! That one kicked off our gaming showcase. What a hell of a way to open that thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited for next year's too. So, we got to wrap this baby up. You know, big interview coming up. But, you know, thank you all today for listening. Again, huge shout out to our Patreon peeps. All the peeps that hang out on our Discord, engage, make it the community that it is. You all rock, and I can't wait to do it again next week.
Absolutely. So,
yeah. Don't forget, like, subscribe, join the Patreon, join the Discord, smash that like button, comment, share it with your friends, scream it from the mountains, and check you out next time. Ciao, ciao.